listening to National Rock Review.
Okay, boys and girls, Eric Morris with National Rock Review one more time this week. I've got another pretty special guest, a pretty well-known guest, one hell of a guitarist, an ex-murderer, a virtuoso on the six strings, an all-around good guy. Well, maybe not. He's still not allowed in a few petting zoos in the Dallas area, but he's still a pretty good cat, so we'll just throw it to him and let him introduce himself.
Hey, what's going on? This is CJ Pierce. Guitar player from Drowning Pool.
and that was just a joke about the petting zoos.
No, they let me in the petting zoos. Certain bars, maybe not so much.
Ah, gotcha.
I am a nice guy all around. I'm good. I'm good.
So, Drowning Pool has had some pretty big and some pretty momentous news lately, and that's coming out with the new album, Hallelujah. Tell me about the album. Let's just get it out the way and get going on the right foot.
Hallelujah. Celebration of metal, celebration of the fact that we're still in this music business that's completely messed up, the fact that we got to do a record and got to say what the hell we wanted to say on it without anybody interfering, which is awesome. So it's a straight-up record. It's an aggressive record.
How long did it take from start to finish?
Well, you know, we always constantly writing music, so we kind of dove into the writing process right after we got done recording Resilience back in 2012, because we had a lot of dead space, because the label we were on at the time decided to delay the release. So we had time to write more songs, which we did. And then on tour for that, we went on tour, we released it. Center on Lucky 13 record, we toured on that as well, and came back home and wrote some more songs, and then once we got in the studio this past summer to finish Hallelujah, it all came together. That was the whole process. Recording process was great, man. We worked with Jason Sukoff, super nice guy, mad scientist genius back there behind the board, and we did something weird too. We popped out and played shows every single weekend. We've never done that during the writing process, but it was really fun because we got to test out the songs and the changes we made on the songs at the live shows. So I think if anything, it was probably an advantage as well. Gave it the live test before we recorded them. A lot of bands just hunker down in the studio, record it, and they get out there. And I'm like, what do you do if it doesn't work? It hasn't been field tested. So these songs have been field tested, not on animals, just on people, before we recorded it.
Excellent. So tell me about the name. How did you guys come to it? And is it just there to scare Midwest preachers going through their kids' album collection? Or was there something a little more in-depth behind it?
Yeah, they've been coming at us since day one with the Sinner record. You know, you play rock music, you're a sinner. You're going to go to hell. Same thing with Hallelujah. You listen to metal, you're going to go to hell. But no, our drummer, Mike Luce, I give him credit on that. He has his early morning coffee tangents, and we're almost done recording the record. We're getting excited about it. And, you know, we're all, like, celebrating about it. But Hallelujah, tell Hallelujah, because it's the devil's music, right? It's heavy metal.
Okay, fair enough. Now, are you guys, have plans been finalized to go out and tour for support of the album yet, or is that still kind of in the planning phase?
Dates are coming in left and right, man. It's been really killer. We have a set tour. Record comes out February 5th. We're going to hit the road February 10th. Band called Audiotopsy is playing with us. Another band called, Violently Breathe on the tour. Trying to remember everybody that's on it. New bands have come on as well. But those dates have come in. We're going to go overseas. We're going to hit Japan and Europe over in April and come back in May, do the big rock fest, and then continue on the States summer tour. I mean, we have stuff coming in all year long now. I guess people do like the record because they keep calling us, hey, why don't you come play? So we'll play anywhere, anytime, any place. It's that easy. You call us up, we'll be over your house. We do pool parties, we'll do bar mitzvahs, we'll do anything, man. We just love playing music.
Now that I would rent the camera equipment to videotape a bar mitzvah in New York someplace. That alone would be worth the plane ticket.
It would be worth it, man. We've done a pool party just for fun. We definitely have. I'm not above anything, man. I'll play anywhere. Not kidding.
So you were talking about how you guys had time to write more material with the dead space. Do you guys have a set way that a Drowning Pool song gets made? Is it one person that does the majority, or is it kind of a group effort from the very beginning?
Well, back in the day when we first got started, we just jump in a jam room and just start writing then. But now with Pro Tools, everybody's got their own little home rigs and kind of come up with their raw ideas on our own. And then we still, we shoot those to each other, but, you know, once we get, that's when the songs really come together. And definitely when you go in the studio to record, it's when it really is the time. But that's been the process. I mean, everybody in the band, you know, they bring a lot of stuff to the table now, more so than before. So it's, if anything, the challenge is always weeding through the material and figuring out, you know, what songs that we want to, you know, nail down to this record and what kind of sound and what are we looking to go for. And, you know, we definitely going down a heavier route, more metal route, more aggressive route. We've always wanted to do that, and now we are. So I think we definitely still keep our foundation, our core sound. Again, like I said, we went on tour and re-released the Sinner record and toured on that all last year, and that definitely has influenced me on a handful of songs on Hallelujah. So it's fun to kind of come back to that as well, and it works. So we're really found our place with Jason Moreno. Honestly, the band's never been better. A lot of shows never been better. I feel like we're 100% all on the same page.
Okay. All right. Cool. Kind of changing gears a little bit since you know you're driving at the moment. Or
I got my eyes closed, so it's okay. I'm
right.
Not looking.
All right. Cool. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of big names in the music industry within the last, say, 6 months, starting with Scott Weiland, of course, Lemmy, David Bowie, Glenn Frey, the bassist for Dio, Rainbow, whoever, he just passed. There's been a lot of pretty big names that have passed. Unfortunately, you guys had to deal with this well ahead of the curve. Does it make it any easier having to have to deal with Dave passing with all these other names coming out? Or does it still kind of feel the same way with each new person that unfortunately leaves us a little too early?
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing's always going to be with you forever, man. It's never easy losing a family member, a best friend for anybody. And especially when it happened to us, you know. I mean, Kurt Cobain and you know, Lynn Strait, Lane Staley, people like that had passed away recently before Dave, and we were all in shock about that back, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. But, and the next thing you know, happened to us. You know, Dave had a cardiomyopathy, he had a heart disease, and passed away in his sleep. And, yeah, it's tragic when that happens, man. I hate it when that happens. And this year, we've had a lot of people that we've lost. But I try to stay positive. You know, we've stayed positive. Mike, Steve, and myself have been friends since high school. We love music. We know Dave loves music. And, you know, when you lose a friend or family member, you just don't hang it up. I know a lot of fans are kind of weird about that. Why do you continue on? Why do you call the band Drowning Pool? Well, we're still here, man. I'm going to still rocking, man. We're going to keep it going. We're going to keep Dave's name going. We're going to keep Lemmy's name going. We're not just going to stop everybody stop playing rock music because somebody passed away. I think that would be the worst thing to do. But I think the best way to get past it is to keep on keeping on. You know, Dimebag Darrell said that. Keep on keeping on. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
Well, that does kind of lead me to the next question. You know, how did it go about that you guys kept on where, like, when Lemmy passed, Motorhead was basically done and everybody was okay with it? So that's kind of the other side of the coin, and I definitely can respect that from you guys.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's a different situation with Lemmy, man. He's iconic. I don't know the rest of the guys are going to do in that situation because, you know, he definitely was the focal point of that. I mean, not that Dave wasn't with us. But we kind of established ourselves even before Dave, and we have since then. And we always, you know, have nothing but respect to him and his family. Of course, he's always with us. I feel like he's always right there at the bar buying shots. He just hasn't brought him back yet. That's kind of how I do it.
Now,
Dave'll be back with the shots. He's been him 10 years or so, but those shots will get back. They're coming. I'll get my shot when it's my turn.
Right. Now, I have to ask, have you seen the Parrot video? And if so, are you approving of the Parrot video?
You know, the thing with the Parrot is we were actually looking for a singer at the time. And the Parrot sent in an audition tape, and I didn't know it was him. We would have hired him. He did such a great job on Bodies. Who knew?
Okay.
I wouldn't have been funny. Drowning Pool's new singer is a Parrot. Who would have thought? That would have been great, dude. That would have been so awesome.
Well, the promoters.
But now we got Jason instead. Jason was Jason got it. He won out of the audition there. Well, no, you know, I feel bad. I've known about the Parrot video for a long time before it really you know, hit the internet and everything else. And I feel so bad because I had an idiot manager at the time that did not tell me that the parent and the parent owners came out to a show. And I had the chance to meet them in Dallas. And nobody knew they came. And then nobody told us. So then they left. And I think it felt pretty hurt, like we blew them off. But if they're listening, I mean, we did not blow. I didn't know you were there. So I would have loved the Memphis and the Burns. So I missed out on that.
I think when the video for if the parrot had been on stage during the song, I think the internet would have broke. So maybe there was a silver lining in all of that.
Oh, definitely. We're going to put some cans on that bird and have him sing on the next record. Do a little parrot beat on the song. I don't know.
Well,
I'm pulling here.
Can you see all the venue promoters? Oh, he'll work for Crackers. You know, so
right, it works. Crackers, yeah. Crackers on the rider all the time. Trying to put all these crackers on the rider for the damn parrot. So we did have one band at the end of a tour. Everybody in the band wore parrot suits and came out there in bodies, and I thought that was freaking crazy hilarious. That was awesome back in the day. It could have been a cooler thing to do to us. But you know, that's how I knew I made it music. You know, people always ask, how do you know when you made it in music? I was like, if I had a big house or I had fire on stage or, you know, John Travolta's flying my private jet, that's how you know you made it music. But like, a parent singing your song, I guess I'll give it that. That's how I knew I made it. Don't school up a parent to sing. They sing anything, though. What am I saying? Parents, they mimic everything.
Right. Wow. Out of all the questions that I'm sure Drowning Pool fans were hoping I was going to ask, I don't think anybody saw the parrot question coming. So, you know, thank you for humbling me with an honest response to that question. It's been a burning, pressing concern of mine for, you know, a while. Okay. Now, right. When Drowning Pool came together in what year?
96 is when Mike, Luce, and myself moved to Dallas from New Orleans and started jamming with Stevie. Mike spent the last 2 years of high school in Dallas, and he moved back to New Orleans. And during this time in high school, he met Stevie. And Mike and I were trying to get things rolling. And at that time, the scene in Dallas was just happening. Pantera was blowing up. Metal was happening in the mid-90s. And it just wasn't the same in New Orleans. I mean, jazz and blues are great, but the metal scene just wasn't happening there. So, you know, we moved to Dallas to try to make it happen, and that's what we did.
Okay.
Once we got Dave Williams in the band, you know, things really started taking off.
Right. Within that time, because that's been a pretty decent amount of time that you guys have been playing music.
Yeah.
What would probably be one or two of the hardest lessons that you've had to learn trying to make your name in music?
Hardest lessons? I mean, we definitely got our sea leg, and we definitely tried a lot of extreme stuff on stage. So, like, some of it was cool, and some of it was completely horrible. I didn't have the video to prove it, but I won't let that out to anybody because we had some really great shows and bad shows. But we worked it since day one, man. I mean, back then, before the internet, you know, we were mailing out postcards. We always had a mailing list. We were always, we're always about having a good time and drinking. I can't tell you how many times. It's all about having a good time with the fans and getting hammered with the fans. So I guess the hardest lesson is, like, just say lesson, but the hangover is pretty hardcore the next day. It gets worse the older you get. I never learned that lesson, though. Keep on drinking.
Okay. All right.
You got to pay for the good times, man. So I guess I have a really good time because the next day it hurts really, really bad.
Okay. Well, let me get one more question about the album in here. With all the tracks that are on there and the difference in some of the sounds of the songs, it makes the entire album pretty dynamic. It's not static. One song doesn't sound like another one that just has different lyrics to it. Do you have a favorite song off the new album that's kind of your baby that you just, for whatever reason, like it better than maybe some of the others?
It's tough because they are. I mean, that's something I definitely pride this band on is a wide variety. You know, I think it comes from I'm a Zeppelin fan. If you listen to their music and their record, like, they covered a wide variety of music. And you're right, a lot of bands have become like, they find like that one sound that works, and you can't tell what record this single's off of because every song is exactly 3 minutes and 15 seconds long, and they all sound the same. So I definitely never want to go down that path. We do a lot of, so it's hard, you know, I love them for different reasons. Depends on what mood I'm in. I mean, I definitely love By the Blood. I'm glad that made it on the record. I'm glad that's out. I could be happy that E1 picked that as a, you know, the lead track, if you will. I do like Drop. It's different. And to me, it kind of, Drop and Push are kind of a newer sound, Drowning Pool, if you will. But I like that direction we're going in. So I want to do more stuff like that.
Okay.
So hopefully fans will dig those songs as well. And like I said, live, We Are the Devil has been fun. It's been great. And A Hell to Pay, it's definitely, that song has a lot of feeling to me. And, you know, it's definitely probably one of those therapy songs for me. I hear it, and it helps me just get along, get over stuff I had in the past. And I love the solo on that song, so hope people dig that one as well.
Okay, cool. We only have a few minutes left, so I won't run you too much past the time I was given. But with E1 being the major label, it seems like with a lot of bands here lately, is it still better in this age where a lot of bands are trying to do it yourself to have that label behind you, or is it kind of you trade one for the other by trying to do everything yourself as a band in the industry today?
Yeah, there's pros and cons to both. I mean, I think you can definitely get things done on your own if you're very, very proactive, and you definitely have the right connections and stuff. And seeing the fact that with our last two labels, we got burnt pretty hard, that I wasn't on fire about signing again. I was definitely pro, let's do this on our own. But, you know, we sat down with the guys at E1. They were all metal dudes. They're all rock dudes, and they're all on the same page, and they're all passionate about what they work with, they work on. So it could have been the best decision of this band's career, you know, working with these guys, because they've been nothing but awesome for us. You know, they're the only people ever, honestly, they literally didn't want to hear any songs. They told us, do not send us any demos. We don't want to hear anything. Do what the hell you want to do, and whatever you give us, we'll put it out. I mean, I could have put out anything. Like, we could have took that the other way, man. You know, we could have had songs about having sex with goats and stuff. Like, you said you got to put it out. We did it whatever we wanted, but I just love the fact that they gave us that kind of freedom. You didn't have some A&R guy or somebody in an office in New York that doesn't even know how to play an instrument telling you, well, radio doesn't rock as hard. You really can't write stuff like this. You shouldn't say that. You know, we didn't have any of that. These guys that do what you want like it should be, and we'll put out your art and your record when you're done. Give it to us when you finish. So nothing but praise to E1. They've been nothing but awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know how the DJs on the local radio station. Next up, the Chicken Dance from Drowning Pool. Yeah, that could have ended badly. Okay, CJ, last question, and it's just one because it's for me, and nobody really else cares about this one. But you've been on the road a lot. You've had to see a lot of interesting things out on tour, out on the road. Do you have a Spinal Tap moment, a moment that just makes you laugh, makes you shake your head? Just, is there that one moment that gets you laughing when it gets brought up that you'd be willing to share with us?
I mean, we've definitely had, and more than once, I hate to admit it, but, you know, a couple of arena rock shows where you leave the dressing room and you take a left instead of a right, and you end up in the basement or you're like, boiler room, and you hear the crowd and you hear the intro playing, and you're supposed to be on stage, and we're all just standing there lost, just laughing, because that has happened to us, man, and not just once, like a couple times. But also the signing thing, man, it never fails. You know, I just you know, I'm not gonna, you know, one of the target companies I worked with, basically some other company bought them out, and all these people took them over, and so not the same company, not the same people running it. They set up this signing for me, and it was one of those situations where you're sitting at the table and, oh, we forgot to put, we promoted it for Saturday, and it's actually on Friday. And you're just sitting there, and you're like,
oh,
all right, well, this is fun. Good times. Well, thanks, Audrina and Mary and Mark for showing up, and that's it. Bam. Done. Have those two, man. Oh, it's fun, man. I had one of those recently, actually, so that was great. I crack up on it, man.
Got to take the good with the bad. Being a rock star now, right?
You do, man. I'll have fun with all of it. I've had so many great shows and so many good times. If something goes wrong or something breaks, I have totally fun with it. You're not going to see me freak out and yell and throw stuff. I'm just going to laugh. Sit back and laugh. Crack open another beer and laugh.
That sounds like a plan to follow, definitely. All right, brother, thank you very much for giving National Rock Review a few minutes. Be careful out there, and we will definitely see you once you hit the road. And we hope you have a blast. We hope that record's well-received because it is an awesome album. And if you come around to the Detroit area, I will definitely have to come out and buy you one of those beers and get some good pictures going.
Yeah, man, I thought we were going to be on this run. Dates keep coming in and changing and stuff like that. But we love Detroit, man. We've got some of the best shows and good times in Detroit. We'll definitely be back again, if not on this run, then probably in the summer for sure. But we have a lot of great friends, some new best friends we've made over the years in Detroit. So come on out. You know me. You know where I'll be. I'll be at the bar. Ready?
All right. Well, the first shot's on me then, brother. All right. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.